grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you get nothing else out of today's sermon, what I want you to get is that when you read in the New Testament, as it says in verse 6 of our epistle text, it talks about the letter and the spirit. All right? When it says that, when it talks about the letter and the spirit, it's talking about the law and the gospel. It's another way of saying the law and the gospel. So when you hear, from now on, the rest of your life, you hear letter, spirit, you are to think to yourself, law, gospel. Law, gospel. Now, why am I harping on that? I'll tell you why. Because throughout Christian history, there have been mystically minded people who love to separate the Holy Spirit of God from the written word of Scripture. And so when they see Paul referring to the letter versus the Spirit, they think that it means, and they assert that, the letter is the written word of God. The Bible is the letter, and the Spirit is the Holy Ghost illumination that drops down from the clouds onto you. Goodness knows how. All right? We call these people fanatics. We call them in German Schwärmerei. All right? We call them pietists. All right? They are people who separate the Holy Spirit from the written Word of God, and they say that the Bible is a dead letter. And the only way that the Bible is useful is if you receive the Spirit quite apart from the Bible. Through your prayers and exertions, you receive the Spirit, and then, as a spiritually alive person, now the Bible becomes useful to you. You see that? That is a fanatical two-step. It separates the Holy Ghost from the one and only means that He uses to bless you. The Holy Ghost comes to you. The Holy Ghost blesses you, not out of the blue sky, not through the midst of your personal exertions, but the Holy Ghost ministers forgiveness, life, and salvation to you by means of the written Word of God as it is read and preached and taught. And therefore, if you ever hear someone call the Bible a dead letter, note that person and have no company with them, because they are not an enlightened child of God and they do not love the gospel. Right? The Bible is not the letter and your spiritual experience is the spirit. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the law and the gospel. Right? So, now why is he talking about this? I ranted and raved, now we can get down to business. Why is he talking about this? Because he wants us to locate our true confidence in God through Christ by means of the ministry of the New Testament. Paul says, I don't think of myself as in any way sufficient in myself. I don't measure up. But God has measured me up. And he put me into the ministry. And it's not the ministry of the Old Testament, it's the ministry of the New Testament. Not of the law, but of the Spirit. That is, not of the law, but of the gospel, because, now listen, the law kills, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, if you seek to be sufficient before God by means of your obedience to the law of God, you will never attain that sufficiency that you seek, because every time you endeavor, you fail, and the law pronounces a judgment upon you. So God never gave the law so that you could use it as a staircase up to heaven that you could climb by means of your good works in order to stand before God and say, here I am. No. God gave us his law in order to prepare us for the gospel. That is, that we may despair of our works and confess them and admit them and then hear the gospel as what it is, good news. So, what is it that Paul is saying here about true confidence in God versus false confidence in ourselves? All right. Number one, in the gospel of the New Testament, we are accounted righteous before God. All right. Now, in our text here, it says that the gospel is the ministration of righteousness. What does that mean? In Romans chapter 1, Paul introduces his argument in the book of Romans by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believeth. All right. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And what he's saying there is that the gospel reveals the righteousness which God gives to us through Christ. We don't have any righteousness of our own. All the goodness of man is purely temporal. You know, you may look a whole lot superior to some people that you know. We all know people and we go, ha, I'm better than that guy, right? But we all also know people that make us look like pygmies, all right? So, it's kind of a sliding scale in this world. Sometimes I look really good. Sometimes I look pretty meager. Right? I don't have any righteousness at all. In the world, it's a sliding scale depending upon who I'm hanging around with. But when it comes to standing before God, you got nothing. Everything you try to offer to God to commend yourself to him is filthy rags. Filthy rags. Every good deed that you think commends you to God, it is a filthy rag because you trust in it and it is unworthy of trust. Alright, so there is only one way. There is only one way to righteousness. And and that is through faith in Christ. The just or the righteous will live by faith. And that is, there is one way of righteousness, that is faith in Christ. When you believe in Christ, God reckons Christ's perfect righteousness to you as a gift. So you get an unlimited credit card. All right? It's called righteousness. And you, in your baptism, it is issued to you in your name, and by it, you have the unlimited resources of Jesus Christ's righteousness and His payment for sin credited to your account. And your righteousness is Christ's righteousness imputed or accounted to you as a gift. All right? That's the only righteousness you will ever have that will commend you to God. All right? So, now the law does not give you righteousness. The law tells you that you ought to be righteous. The law tells you, do this, don't do that, think this, don't think that. And then the only other thing that the law can say to you is, uh-oh, you fail. That's what the law does. It tells you what to do, and it tells you what not to do, and it pronounces condemnation for disobedience. But the law cannot help you. It does not empower you. It does not wipe away sins. You know how people think, well, I did something really bad on Friday, so for the next 8 or 9 days, I'm going to try hard to be extra good. And that way, I will erase the bad thing that I did on Friday. That's the way people often think about their works. They think that if you do something wrong, do 6 or 7 things right, and you're covered. Right? No. Really, when you approach God that way, you only dig your hole deeper. Because God looks down from heaven at you and says, moron! Alright? That's not the way of righteousness. The law cannot justify you. The law cannot give you life. The law cannot pronounce forgiveness. Only the good news of Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life on your behalf and paid for your sins on the cross, that is your righteousness. And when you have faith in Christ, that is the only righteousness you will ever have. And since you're all here this morning on Labor Day weekend, we can assume that you all have faith. Well, maybe not all of you. Right? But we can assume that you all have faith. Therefore, I can comfort you with the fact that you are righteous in the eyes of God by faith in Jesus, who is your righteousness, and bing, you have it credited to your account. That makes you confident in God. Number two, in the gospel of the New Testament, we are quickened and renewed. We are made alive and we are renewed. Where does it say that in our text? It says, the letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life. And it talks about the ministration of death and the ministration of the Spirit. Alright? The ministration of death versus the ministration of the Spirit. Now, what happens through the gospel? Through the gospel, the Holy Ghost works upon all who hear it. And the Holy Ghost is the one who brings us to faith. He enables us to believe the gospel, and then he regenerates us. We become born again, according to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. We become regenerated, renewed, or born again by the Holy Ghost, who does this to us by means of the gospel message, the preaching of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins by Jesus Christ. Now, the law doesn't do this. You don't get renewed and quickened, made alive, by obedience to the law. You get renewed and made alive by believing the gospel, by trusting Christ and believing the gospel, and then the Holy Ghost begins to work in your life so that you have new motivations and new desires at work in you, causing you to want to please God with the way you conduct your life. And so the Holy Ghost works in you a renewed mind. That is, you start thinking about things differently. You begin to desire to do the will of God from the heart, and to desire from the heart to turn away from sin and wickedness. But you don't get the cart before the horse. You know, you don't say, oh, first I'm going to try to earn my way into God's presence, and I'm going to use the means that the Bible says kills. So I'm going to slaughter myself and then expect a changed life. No. First, you receive renewal and regeneration from the Holy Ghost through the Word of God as you hear it and believe it, and the Holy Ghost causes newness to happen in you and to you. Then, after you are renewed by faith, after you are assured of your righteousness in Christ, then the Holy Ghost begins to change your life so that you begin to conform yourself to His will. Alright, so the law kills. Alright, it says you have sinned. Failure, 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 failure. That's what the law says. Now listen, somebody says, you Lutherans, you talk all negatively about the law. The problem is not the law. St. Paul says that the law is holy, the law is righteous, and the law is good. The problem is us. Alright? The problem is that when the law talks to us, it's talking to lost and condemned sinners. And it can only judge us, condemn us, and kill us. The problem is not the law. If we were not fallen, sinful creatures, we would hear the law of God and say, snap, right? That's the way we would hear it. And we would do it, and there would be no problem whatsoever. But we are fallen and sinful creatures. And every time the law addresses us, even when we like what it says, it condemns us. It kills us. It says, nope. Right? But the gospel says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, only in the gospel of the New Testament are we renewed and made alive. Not by the works of the law, which kills, but by the Spirit, which giveth life. And the Spirit is the gospel. Last thing. In the New Testament gospel, we are kept in hope until the last day. All right, now this is a little bit more obscurely stated in the text, but if you look at verse 7, It says, but if the ministry of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away? Moses, you remember reading the Old Testament, which I know you do. Moses came down from the mountain, his face shined, right? So he put a veil over his face. And Paul says that Moses put that veil over his face so that the children of Israel would not see the fading glory of the radiance of his countenance. He stood in the presence of God, his face shined, and he came down from the mountain with this shining face, but over the period of time, the glory, the shining of his face would fade. You see? And so the glory of the old law is done away. All right? And the ministration of the Spirit is more glorious. He says, if the ministration of condemnation is glorious, much more the ministration of righteousness exceeds in glory. And then he says, for that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. All right, what is all this saying? The gospel is more glorious by far than the law. The law was given in order to prepare us for the gospel. The law passes away, but the gospel abides forever. And therefore, when we are in the gospel by faith, when we live out the gift given to us in baptism by continuing to trust in the Lord, we are kept by the Holy Ghost in the faith through the gospel. Not through the law, but through the gospel, so that it will be said about us, he endured to the end. He is saved. All right? Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And so it shall be said about us. Not because we do all the things that we should, but because we have a Savior who has saved us to the uttermost, and the gospel does not pass away. There's not something new coming, some new revelation of God. All that's coming is the consummation that the gospel fully prepares us for. So that when we are in the New Testament gospel by faith in the grace of God, the Holy Ghost keeps us in this faith. The law has fading glory. The law passes away. But the gospel has a glory that excels, exceeds, and abides. And therefore, if we are in the glory of the gospel, we also will abide in the grace of God. Amen.